Hi everyone, welcome to the Mac Show. And if you're watching or listening to the recordings, boy, have you missed out. Because before we actually started this show, we had this whole thing going about Marty and Dave trying to find a copy of the book that I wrote for macOS Tiger years and years ago.
20
And
years.
20 years ago, spoiler, Marty found a copy and it's on its way to him now. And Marty, I'm looking forward to seeing the book in person at Mac Stock. And I think you're muted.
Was probably
We can make up whatever it is that we wanted Marty to have said. So anyhow, I'm Jeff Gamet, I'm your host, and also I mentioned Mac Stock. I want to point out that everyone that's here today, except for Patrice, will be at Mac Stock in July. And everyone that's here that's going to Mac Stock is actually speaking as well. And as we record, in about an hour and a half, Marty will be on a special live stream with Mike Potter, the organizer of Mac Stock, for some exciting announcements. We don't know what the announcements are. Well, Marty probably does, but the rest of us don't know what the announcements are. So, actually, you know what I should do for everyone that wants to learn more? I'm going to drop a link to Mac Stock website in the live chat right now. And Dave, I think you just dropped a link to the live
Stream.
stream. Yeah, so thank you for doing that. And Marty, I'm sure we will all be finding the time to tune in and see what you and Mike have to announce. So yeah, all right. As long as we're here, we should do some introductions. And let's go ladies first. Patrice, how are you?
I'm okay. My voice is still a little under the weather, I would call it. Caught a whatever. Caught a flu, the flu somewhere. So, yeah, been a fun week because of that. But I mean, it's Friday. I'm here.
Well, I'm glad you're upright and your voice
Woohoo!
is working.
Yeah, I mean,
And
I was never fully sick. I was like, I mean, like Monday night, I was a little tired. And since then, it's just been runny nose and like the voice going.
the way I feel about being sick is, well, first, I don't want to be. But if I'm partway sick, I feel like that's the worst because I'm not really sick, but I'm not well enough to do things and it's super frustrating. But then when I get really sick, I'm like, oh, actually, maybe being only partway sick was better.
Yes, exactly. I mean, yesterday morning was fun. Like, I had a 9 a.m. meeting and they could not even say hello. So that was fun. It got better throughout the day, so that was fine. What was that Wednesday? No, it was yesterday, I think.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're upright and still breathing. Mostly. Marty, speaking of upright and breathing, how are you? And you're still muted. What happened to Marty's audio?
He needs
I'm a
to.
bit, my dog was barking and now she's quiet. So I'm a bit tired because the dog barks. And I don't get enough sleep. However, I promised my wife I would take her out for dinner tonight. And we're going to a nice little Greek restaurant very close to the Apple store. That's all I'll say.
Nice.
Just to be sure, you're taking the wife out, not the dog.
No, taking the wife out. The dog stays
Okay.
home and can bark at the wind.
Just wanted to be sure.
So what I'm hearing is your dog will be living its best life.
And we will be too.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I hope you have a wonderful dinner at the Apple Store. And speaking of wonderful dinners at the Apple Store, Chuck, how are you?
Fine, Jeff. Thank you. I think. I never had dinner at the Apple Store, but hey, I'm open for just about anything.
I thought Jeff was saying you're a snack.
Well, Chuck is delicious.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone right now. I have no idea what conversation we're having. But I'm glad I'm here to echo Patrice's sentiments. I'm glad it's Friday. I need a week of Fridays. A week of weekends, really.
Yeah. I think we could all go for a week of weekends.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And certainly probably needing a week of weekends. Our current hardcore physical workhorse, Dave, how are you? And how is the setup of your office coming along?
Oh, it's doing good. I got this this main desk, the most important, is pretty much in a good spot. I made a lot of purchases this last day or two with Apple, so they got a lot of my money this week. But feel to share in the show if you want.
Yes.
Otherwise, I've been very busy reading this book, so it's time to just read this book and learn more about the history of Apple.
And for those of you that are listening and not watching, Dave just held up David Pogue's.
This is an amazing book.
Apple, the first 50 years.
Look how big it is.
It's big.
Can I get an AI summary of that, please?
Yeah.
You're about to.
Pages.
Okay.
With color pictures.
Awesome. See, the color really matters.
Mm-hmm, it does.
For there are some books where black and white is fine, but there are other books where if you don't do color, you are really doing your readers a disservice.
Yep.
So as far as news goes this week, I feel like this is kind of a review week. In many ways.
I thought you would say that we're hungover from the announcement last week.
Well, we kind of are. Yeah. Yeah. Also, just for full disclosure and to make a big thank you, Dave lets us crib from the In Touch with iOS show notes every week. You're incredibly generous, and thank you for letting us do that.
Of course.
We have it, okay. I think we have like three things that we need to do hands-on review with, because we also have people that have these things, and those three things are David Pogue's book, the iPhone 17e, and the MacBook Neo. And let's do David's book first, get that out of the way, and then we can move on to the actual hardware. So Dave and Marty, you both have the book.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Chuck, yours is being delivered the same day as your Vision Pro, right?
So far. Yeah. It's just, I will get one. I will get one eventually. It's just
a book or a Vision Pro?
No, thanks, Dave. Probably both, actually. And maybe about the same time.
Oh, well, you've heard it here. He may be giving in.
We will wear you down, Chuck.
Yes, we will.
Is it like you have been doing for how many now months?
Years.
Let's face it, Chuck.
Close to 2 years,
actually. We've been
wearing
you down for years. We just keep moving on to the next thing.
How come Jeff gets out of this deal? I mean,
shouldn't you,
we
Marty,
be beating him down for not having a Vision Pro?
You could, but then you'd feel bad, because then you'd be like, oh, wait, he's freelancing in a market where AI is killing his industry. We should go easy on him.
Yeah.
You know, it's time to embrace the enemy.
I do snuggle with it some.
So I'm just an easy target. Is that what you're saying?
Hmm. It's because you're cute, Chuck.
Oh, jeez. Okay. I'm on the wrong show.
You can't argue with that logic. I mean, you can try, but
no, I can't.
And anyhow, David Poe book, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so now on to the iPhone. No, actually, I am curious what both of our book owners think of David Pogue's 50th anniversary of Apple tome.
I mean, I started looking through it and reading it. It's, you know, it's a long read, but I did get he's doing quite a whirlwind of press lately, David Pogue. So he did do an amazing interview with a lot of old Apple employees on with the Computer History Museum. He was actually live there, and they did a pretty amazing video. I found it live late at night. It was like around 9 o'clock my time, and then I forgot about it. Then I went to go watch it later. I was up till probably 12:30 in the morning to watch the whole thing. I just couldn't stop. It was just so good. Mm-hmm. They even had Ron. He had even had Ron Wayne on, and he was there. Fortunately, Ron's in a wheelchair, but they interviewed him, and he actually came back and said that, you know, all those things saying that he didn't get any money, it was false. And so David Polk came back and says, so that means you have $935 billion?
So, maybe, but not I guess, much.
No, but maybe it was $93 million, but it was cool to see. And yeah, David's doing a lot of fun things here. So and funny thing with the book is, you know, the regular price on the book was $50, and you know that price is going to come down. Funny that I bought it. I think I paid like $46, and all of a sudden I get an automatic refund from Amazon for $7.92 because they discounted it to $39. So they gave us all refunds.
Nice.
I found that to be very strange. But it's an awesome book. I think David really did a great job, and he's, you know, we've known him for years and years. He's always been a big Apple fan, and he's written all those Missing Manual books and a lot of other stuff. And he even mentioned that Tim Cook he wasn't able to get Tim Cook to be in the book because I guess they didn't sync the time. I thought it may sounded more like he didn't want to do it, but then he did a full interview with Tim Cook on CBS's Sunday Morning, and there was an extended version of the interview which I watched. But Tim is embracing this too. But I think Jaws, Greg Jozwiak was mentioned. He was in the audience, but he didn't appear on camera at that event. Said, nothing matters in Apple history until after 1997. that's the important times, you know, because that was the low point of Apple, of course.
And spoiler for everyone that doesn't know how that worked out, Apple did recover quite well.
And then some.
I think they did okay.
I mean, it's not like they're going to go out of business this week.
Well, you know, it's funny because that comment came up on Dave's show last night, and I kind of like the idea of, you know, forward-looking and not always looking back. But I would contest that with Jaws. Because the one thing that was that the previous time period put in place was this rabid, fanatical bunch of Apple users that, you know, were faithful, faithful. And look, there's at least one, maybe two on this panel, you know, that just never gave up hope, that just believed in it, not in just a fanatical way that helped carry through and set up the base for then what happened later. And the people that did that, you know, got to do a lot of I told you so's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember back when Apple stock was very low, a relative of mine who fancied themselves as quite the stock market wizard, they weren't.
Of course
they,
not.
They were in like a club of people that would get together and do navel gazing and talk about what stocks they were buying and how great they were. And so this relative asked me about Apple. And they said, well, it came up in our discussion this last week. And what do you think? And I said, Apple is a very persistent company, and they have really good people working for them. And if you can afford to buy Apple stock, I have a feeling this is the time to buy a lot. And he's like, oh, well, everyone's saying PC and Windows and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, everyone's saying what they're saying in their echo chamber. Look at what the company is actually doing and the potential they have. And so he talked to me later on and said, yeah, well, I never bought any of that Apple stock. You're wrong. And had that relative followed what I suggested, they would be so incredibly wealthy right now. There you go.
Yep.
I've got something on the book, kind of a, I don't want to say it's different than what, you know, Dave was able to go into the live interview and stuff that, that he saw. The book for me, I this might come as a surprise to you, but if there's something flashy or shiny in the peripheral of my vision, my head automatically turns to it. So staying and keeping attention on something like a 762-page book, it would be difficult for me to do. However, this book is really chopped up into like 10-page chapters, and there's, I don't know, 5 or 6, 7 sections of it that cover different time periods of Apple. And for me, I guess you could read it, and maybe Dave's doing this, I don't know, you could read it cover to cover to follow the chronology. But for me, as soon as I opened the book, there were things I wanted to go to because I wanted to see what they covered. And I could get through that in 10 pages. Not a lot of tough technical stuff. So it's a book that's written not just for Mac nerds, but just an interesting story in these different areas. It is available on Kindle. So, and I think it's like $20 on Kindle. And it retains all the illustrations. I bought a hard copy of the book, like Dave, I think we heard about it in like last September, and it was listed in Amazon. And I got the refund too, which kind of came as a surprise to me, but
me too.
You know, that's pleasant. You know, have really enjoyed the hard copy. I also got the Kindle edition because I'll probably do more of that reading off that. And particularly since all the illustrations are retained in the Kindle version of it. So it's an interesting book. You don't have to read it cover to cover, but I might read it jumping around and then go, okay, here's a chapter I want to take a look at that I know absolutely nothing about.
Yeah.
So Marty, that hearing you talk about that last night and now reiterating that today, you're the person that's actually generated enough interest for me to think about buying the book. I typically don't buy the retrospective books because I end up getting disappointed. And the book that solidified that for me, it's like, yeah, just don't buy this stuff, was Walter Isaacson's Steve Jobs book. I don't know if I got through the first chapter of that book. I mean, it was horrible. And people are like, oh my God, it's the most amazing thing. And I
don't know. Yeah. I found it interesting, but I would not say it was the most like amazing thing. Yeah, but to be honest, also like interesting in air quotes, because we followed this for so long that I think for us, there's very little new things in there.
Yeah. So, yes, but the idea of being able to pick up a book and have like a whole collection of anecdotes, if you will, about little slices of Apple history.
Yeah,
that sounds interesting.
It does.
And and I think that if I do end up picking up this book, I'm not going to read it cover to cover. I'm going to pick it up, read one of the 10-page chapters, and put it down. I will not read it in order.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, I think you've, that's a really interesting point. And I think that's obviously the way the book could be read, should be read. But David Pogue is probably one of the very few people, if not the only person, who could put together a book like this, because he was there. He was involved in so many of the things from the outside. You know, he wasn't behind the inside the walls. So that, in many cases, that would be a disadvantage. Here, I think it's an advantage. But David's writing style also is so approachable. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like some of the things that Walter Isaacson wrote, you know, they're okay, because they're a bit more, no offense, Marty, but they're kind of more academic. This is not supposed to be academic. This is supposed to be, and I don't have the word for it. I don't want to say fun, because I'm afraid that makes it sound frivolous, and I don't want to minimize all the stories that are told in the book. Because, and I haven't seen the book, but I already know, you know, knowing David, I know what's going to be in there. And so, yeah, I think this works on so many levels.
Mm-hmm. I tried to listen to Walter Isaacson's book on tape. I never actually bought a hardcover, and it was tough, because I put it down for a long period of time. Then I felt like I had to start over. And, don't read it if you're depressed, or don't listen to it if you're depressed, because you will want to put an end to yourself.
Yeah. I'll tell you a story that I found more interesting about Steve Jobs. Small Fry from, what was her name? Is it Lisa Brennan Jobs? I think, yeah.
Small Fry. His daughter?
Yeah. That was more interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, Small Fry was the title. That was more interesting. But it was also like entirely and like completely her perspective. There's no intention of being correct or whatever. Like, it's her perspective, how she experienced it, or she wrote it.
That does sound interesting.
Yeah, it's still one of my favorite books of like, and I read it.
That's a book, mm-hmm. Patrice?
Yeah, I'll find the link for you. It's like, yeah, 10 years ago, maybe.
I can't believe that I didn't know she wrote a book.
Yeah, it's really good. I had forgotten. Some people disagree with it or whatever, but like, it is her perspective.
Hmm. All right. Interesting. We could probably talk about the book all day, but we have an iPhone to talk about, and I know we have some hands-on experience happening. So that would be the iPhone 17e. And Dave, what are you thinking about that phone?
I think it's the phone they should have released last year, because the 16e and the 17e. If you notice the case that's on here, this was the case I bought for the 16E. Notice it fits perfectly. So it didn't change at all as far as the design goes. Really, the only two differences were the fact that it's got MagSafe now, which was dumb why they didn't have that in the 16E. I was so glad to get rid of the 16E, honestly. And the screen and the camera are a bunch of differences, too. I mean, resolution, comparing this to a 17, you know, that's what a lot of people are doing. Do you want to spend the extra $200 for US to buy a 17? I say yeah, because I think it's got a good camera, much better than what this one does. But this is a pretty good camera. I think Apple's going to be very successful with it, because they did enhance the camera. It's got some enhancements to it. The screen itself is fine. I mean, again, this is not the form factor I like. I mean, I love my Macs. I'm always going to have a Mac. I don't think, even when I know everybody's going to get excited if a Fold comes out, I think I'll still go with the Macs, because I just absolutely love that form factor. But for an everyday person to have an iPhone and not want to spend a lot of money on it, $599 is a bargain. And plus the fact that Apple did increase the storage to standard 256, which is amazing. Apple would remember all those years of the iPhone where they would add 32 gigs of storage on the iPhone 4 and the iPhone 5 as a base. Yeah, the 4.
4 gigabytes. Yeah. No, 4 gigabytes of storage.
Well, yeah, the original iPhone, yeah, it was even worse. But yeah, I was smart and didn't get the first one just for that reason, because it was so much expensive back then. Yeah, no, I figured you did.
Dave, I disagree with you. I hate that argument of, oh, this is the iPhone people, like Apple should have released last year. You think they couldn't have if they wanted to? Like, yeah, they could have. I mean, they totally could have. No, I think last year's iPhone, I mean, you have to think where we were coming from. We were coming from this shitty device here, which is the SE2, I think, which right. I'm gladly getting rid of for a 17E as soon as I can order it through my company. I mean, the battery is like basically broken in this one. That's where people are coming from, like corporate devices and kids or whatever. Like the 16E was an amazing phone for an amazing price. And I'm pretty sure if they could have added like the things they added this year, they would have. I can tell you also, they knew that the 17E was coming. Like when they released the 16E, the 17E was basically already locked in. So they knew exactly what their schedule is.
I got a question because you held that case up and it looks like it has MagSafe on it. Am I right on the back?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it does.
So you bought a case last year to fit a phone that didn't have MagSafe as part of its capabilities. But, and now it.
I know it does.
Well, this case fits on the phone that does.
This case had a metal ring that came with it, too. So when I bought it, I had to put that metal ring to enhance the magnetic part of the MagSafe. But it stuck. But you know how you got those phones that are just, it works, but it really, you don't want to trust it because especially if you're holding it and then, boop, it falls. That's what this case was or is. But dimension-wise, it's exactly the same. The camera, you know, that's usually what Apple usually does. They change the way that the camera's laid out, but that didn't change. I looked at them both together. I've, of course, traded in the other one, but the only thing that influenced me to do this in the first place, because I know this is just a secondary phone to me, T-Mobile offers great deals. This is free for, you know, I'm going to be a customer for, I've been a customer for 10 years. I don't think 2 years is going to hurt me. This is costing me nothing, and I have a free line, so... This basically phone's basically called me. I get the bonus of trying it and cost me nothing. So, and I can install beta on it, which I did. So
nice. So with the playing around with that phone that you've been able to do for the short period of time you've had it, would you feel comfortable telling people, buy this phone. You want to get an iPhone? Just get this phone. You'll be fine.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. As I said at the beginning, I said, this is a great entry-level iPhone. People who don't have the budget to go crazy, $799, $999, $1299, it's a great entry-level phone. Getting people in, that's what Apple's doing. Why do you think they're doing, even Google and Apple are both supporting each other, allowing people to transfer between the two. They've made it so much easier. I mean, I went through the process. We talked about this in previous shows. So I have a Pixel 10 XL. The process was like flawless. I mean, I was able to move from the Pixel to an iPhone, no problem.
Thank the EU for that, please.
The EU is really what... Yes,
the EU forced them to, both companies actually, to do that, finally. Right. And I mean, also good for Apple that they then also rolled it out globally.
Right. So, I would highly recommend it for someone who's just looking for, just get it, get your feet wet on the iPhone. I talk to so many people at work who are on Android. Yeah, I've been thinking about it. I was like, well, this is a perfect model if you don't want to, but depending on which one they have. If they have like a Samsung S, S series phone or something, you might want to go a little higher than this one. But
depends on how old it is.
Yeah, too, if it's S20 or something. But I would recommend, and for anybody, just getting into the iPhone ecosystem, this is a great way to start.
Okay. I want to make sure we have enough time to talk about the Neo, so I'm just going to move us over to that now.
Please do. Right. Yep.
MacBook Neo, and Marty, Dave, you both have one now, right?
I don't have the Neo. I have
You got the new Air, but Marty, you got the Neo. I got the new Air
and the new M5 Pro, too.
Okay, so if we have time to talk about the Air and the M5 Pro, we will. But I have a feeling we're going to end up wrapping up with the Neo today. So Marty, what do you think?
Which color do you want me to talk about?
Well, I'm assuming you got two of each color.
I don't understand why you have two, period, but okay. I know yeah, you have. I know why you have because of education.
Educational
discount. No, because it can.
I think it's remarkable. Part of my complaint, and I know this is a complaint that Chuck has too, where people talk about stuff based on their assumptions that without even laying their hands on the device. Mm-hmm. And it was frustrating because all the press leading up to this isn't going to run. Why would you want to buy it? Why would you want to buy it might still be a relevant question for folks. But the this isn't going to run is, I think, the reviews and my experience with it since the embargo is over in terms of reviews have all been extremely positive. People mm-hmm. have been trying to push it to the max. There are reviewers who will still complain, well, it still only has two ports. Well, there's a bunch of stuff that I've done with it in the last 48 hours. One was a challenge by Ewan, and I'm yes. really sorry he's not here because I have a whole bowl of crow for him to eat.
Well, Marty, tell us what's in that tasty bowl of crow.
Yeah, tasty bowl of crow, yeah. And I put sprinkles on top, too.
Nice.
He challenged me last week to do, once I got it, to take 4K video, put it in Final Cut Pro, and convert it to 1080p. And that was the second thing I did once I opened it up and got it started. First thing was to get Apple Creator Suite in it. And, of course, you need Apple Creator Suite, I think, is what that suite was built for student uses and for some use in business and industry. If that didn't run on this, then they've just got a crappy laptop. So I put that on there and put the 5K video. It was 3 gigs. Ran it and to convert it through Final Cut Pro down to 1080p, it took 1 minute and 25 seconds to do that. And it converted it down to 380 megabytes, something like that. So for most use cases, if I'm a student or I'm doing short little TikTokies, they'll be able to accomplish this quite easily on this device. The other thing that I wanted to try to figure out was, will this take extra ports? So I have a USB-C hub and plugged it in. I powered it, and then I took the power. I took plugged it in without the power, and it was still probably drawing from the laptop. It was still able to power a external passport hard drive and a couple of jump drives that I stuck in it, and it recognized it as separate, separate drives on the laptop itself. And so, and pretty quickly, it ran it all pretty quickly. So I did plug it into both ports, both powered and unpowered, and there it would recognize it and run it. So that was pretty cool.
Cool.
Starting to load programs on it. I have my mail program on it and a couple of mail programs on it and other things to test it with. I'm going to try and load Omni apps on it to see how that works. But so far, the reviews have been pretty astounding in terms of it. And I think people didn't think of it. And people are still arguing, yeah, but you need to get an M1 or you need to get an M2 or et cetera for common use. There's,
this is faster than an M1. Yeah, that's the crazy thing. It is faster than the M1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The folks who don't want to die keep arguing this point. Or I saw a comparison today with a Chromebook, and it was a person who was kind of like, "But the Chromebook's really better."
yeah,
and it doesn't get the idea that this chip might have been in another device, and you're basing what you think is needed in another device. It's in a completely different device, and Apple has probably come up with some way to balance that memory use in a way that hasn't been thought of or used before. Yes. And you're placing kind of an old paradigm on a new system. So I know even, Dave played with him a little bit, but at the store, but yeah.
Even if it was the old system, even the old system was like that it's faster than an M1, like a baseline M1 that was in MacBook Air that was doing stuff just fine. Like it's just a weird argument.
Here's the weird experience I had. I got the first one and loaded it up here while I'm sitting in my, you know, with my studio and doing things, and it was trying to get the job done. The second one came in the mail, and my wife was downstairs when it opened, and she goes, "Aren't you going to open that box?" I'm like, I wound up opening it and sitting in a nice chair in my front room of my house with her across the way, and started to start the thing up. And what crossed my mind was, this is a MacBook. Everything about it feels like a MacBook or a different MacBook line.
Yeah.
So the quality of the build, the way it looks, how it ran, it's like, no, this isn't just a after kind of crappy laptop that Apple put out. It fits really well in that spectrum. And I just had, it was like I'm on a MacBook. I'm not on some new cheap computer that Apple put out.
It's looking at the Neo, and so okay, I held back my thoughts on what it would be before it was released, because why even bother? After it was released, I looked at it and immediately saw a completely different potential computer setup for me that doesn't include a MacBook Pro anymore, a Mac Mini on my desk, and a Neo for on the go. And
yes,
and I would and I would still come in at about the price of buying or replacing my current MacBook Pro. So and if I trade this in, I would get a Neo for free.
Right. Yeah. If you autograph it, it'll add to the value.
I think so. It adds to the value. Yeah. So I'm not saying I'm replacing my M2 Pro MacBook Pro right now, but this is a totally viable option for me. And now I have to seriously think about what I need to buy the next time it's time for me to replace my laptop.
Yeah, I mean, we had in the pre-show yesterday before the big show, like, I mean, despite the fact that's not the Mac show, we had a discussion about it. And I think, I mean, even for me, like, I have a pretty powerful M4 Max, like MacBook Pro sitting here. And I need it. But there is a lot of times when I'm, especially when I'm traveling, I really don't want to carry around the $5,000 MacBook Pro. Like, I think I said I'm carrying around about $13,000 worth of stuff usually. Like, there's a Vision Pro, there's a MacBook for my personal, and then there's my like work MacBook, which is another $3,000 or something. And I mean, yeah, I really don't need that.
Yeah. You know, people are like, well, wait till you open 20 windows.
Yeah.
Who the hell opens 20 windows?
I mean, me.
Oh, well,
you'd be surprised.
But you don't have to.
That's not who this is for. Yeah, that's not who this machine is for.
No, and I mean, I'll tell you that. I think it can handle that. It just depends on what windows you open.
Oh, then people went ahead and did that. They tested it, and it handles it.
Exactly.
But I just... My reaction to that is we're teaching, people are learning how to use computers in a way that's inefficient.
Yes.
And if you only need 5 windows, then close the other 15, and save your processing for whatever you're going to do. But as soon as people said that, somebody tested it and said, no problem.
Works. Yeah.
There was a video I saw, and I'm sorry, I didn't save the link. It was a guy doing a review of the Neo where he went to the applications folder, selected every single app, and did Commando.
Yeah.
And it works. And everything opened and worked, and he wasn't seeing a lag. And then he took a 4K video and rendered it while everything was running. And at the end of the little bit where that happened, he's like, I think I just ruined my whole review because it worked perfectly. And now there's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I mentioned that yesterday. I'm running like, I didn't quit any app. I'm running all my browser windows with like all the million stuff tabs open. I mean, this is M1 Max. I'm running Ecamm. I'm running like all of it, and it's not even using 30% of the CPU. So I'm 100% sure if I don't go this crazy, I can completely run that on a Neo, and it's fine. Yeah, it's not as fast as the M1 Max, the M4 Max, but it doesn't need to be. Right?
No, well, and for many of... Oh, go ahead, Chuck.
Well, so this is almost just a question I don't expect an answer to, but why do so many of the reviews seem to focus on breaking the machine and on what this can't do?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, pick your product, and I guarantee you that you can prove that it can't do something. You know, get a dump truck and you can prove that it can't do something.
I cannot cut onions with my MacBook Pro, so it's a failure.
It still doesn't have
a lighted keyboard, Chuck.
Well, so you know, it's completely silly, but it's complete. Mm-hmm. Patrice's example is perfect, you know. And so let's focus on what this can do.
Yes.
Look, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of a cautionary thing that if you're expecting to be able to render 4K video in 40 minute 4K video in 30 seconds, this is not your machine.
Yeah.
But you know, for everything that it can do and the price point. And maybe this is old school Apple fanboy talking, but it just seems like if there's an Apple logo on it, everybody wants to tear it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get it. I don't get it.
That's how the whole influencer YouTube whatever space works these days, right? I mean, it's like fine, like how to destroy it, how bad it is. Apple is doomed the whole nine yards. But I said last week. If your time is this valuable that you cannot wait, I don't know, let's say 30 minutes to render your complex video, then you're not buying this machine. If you don't care, and honestly, most people probably don't. I mean, if they even editing 4K video, but most people, even if they do, they're like, whatever. Takes an hour. So what? I'll do something else in the meantime. This is a perfectly fine machine for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Patrice, you covered my hypothesis, so thank you for that. But I will share the part that I was going to wrap up my hypothesis with, which is that a lot of the people that I have seen going into reviews about for the Neo have been going in under the assumption that that Apple has done the same thing that other PC makers have done, where they've made sacrifices that are really bad to keep the price low. And when they get into the review, they're consistently really surprised at what the machine does. And so now you have this review where they're like, well, I don't know if this is going to work. And then it switches into, holy crap, this is amazing. I cannot believe what I'm doing with this machine.
Yeah. There is one single thing that I can point to where I'm like, Apple probably compromised here. I'm not sure it matters for most people, but for me, that has a little like aftertaste of a compromise, which is fine. I mean, they have to. And that's the two USB-C ports. And it's not the number of ports, because I'm like, two is perfectly fine. It's that one of them is USB 2. One of them is fast and one of them is slow. And I think that is a compromise. I think it's fine probably for most people, but it is a compromise.
I have a hypothesis on that too, Patrice.
Yes,
I have one. I have one behind you, Jeff. Go for it.
Okay.
So, this computer's running an A18 processor.
A18 Pro, yes.
A18 Pro, which was designed from the ground up to have a single USB port, And I think that there were engineering hoops that Apple had to jump through to make two ports work correctly. And to make all of that come together the way they needed it to, they ended up having to put a USB 2 port on there to go along with the USB 3 port. And next year, they will have finished hammering out all of the magical engineering, and that will go away.
I mean, yes, that's exactly how this works. It is a compromise, right? At the end, okay, we want to use the A18 Pro, and it can only do this. So, okay, we'll compromise here and say this is good enough. And as I said, I think for most people, they will either not notice or they don't care. And most people probably don't know. That's true. Yeah, I include myself in that. I'm like, I'm not sure I would care.
But Marty, to your point, more on the display part, that if you plug the external display in the wrong one, the machine tells you this is not the right one.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And the second or third time, you just know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The biggest complaint I've seen about this computer is about the USB-C ports.
It's too cheap? No, I don't know.
The complaint is Apple didn't label the ports.
You
just true. Take a little red nail polish and
put it on. That's what I would do.
I
100% agree. I think that would have been the right thing to do. They didn't. So there's some compromises. I mean, nobody's surprised, right? There has to be some compromises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but does Apple never labels ports? I mean, I'm sitting here.
They used to.
Yes. Used to, but
not anymore.
And they still do on their desktop machines, though, don't they?
Yeah, this doesn't have any labels either. So.
Yeah, some of them have little lightning bolts next to them.
Oh yeah. Okay, you're right. Yeah, you're
just,
right.
Just symbols, not words.
I guess the iMacs still do. Yeah.
Yeah. The MacBook Pros do not. There's no labels here at all.
Yeah. Not on my new one.
Yeah. So, all right. So the consensus that I'm getting out of all of this is that Apple exceeded expectations with this computer.
He did.
And
100%.
And I fully believe that Apple completely threw this lower price portable market on its ear when they release the Neo. And we're going to see companies scrambling for quite a while to try and compete with what Apple's doing in the space.
Yes. And I think that is the more important point here. Like we can think about it what we want. Like it, hate it, want to buy five of them, doesn't matter. The rest of the market, that's where this is targeted, right? It's education is one, but there's a whole market out there of, like, let's say, no, I don't want to say cheaper, but lower priced devices. And I mean, Asus is, what was it? Was it the CEO? CEO, CTO, someone on the C-level, I think, said as much.
Their earnings report, the Neo was part of their whole earnings report discussion, and everything you just said was part of that conversation as well.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, they did not expect that. There's been rumors about Apple doing something like that for a while, and I mean, they knew about it, right? But I think their expectations were quite different. Like they thought either it's a really, really bad device, which Apple usually doesn't do, or it's just more expensive than it turned out to be, which also would be fine for them, because then it's like, but then it's not really competing on the price, right? So what Apple did was release a really, really good device for a really, really good price. And they did not expect that.
I'm thinking from an educational market, if schools or school districts purchase these in bulk, I can kind of, first of all, they've got a lockdown system, which is not necessarily true with the other devices that they're currently using. So you have the security, you have the ease of use of the operating system. And I think, and Dave might have a better feel for this, I could see Apple doing something like providing service or exchange, mm-hmm. As a service to schools for a fee or for a cost, like we get with AppleCare Plus or AppleCare, but along the same lines, but more for, you know, larger group purchases that are going to be used in an educational setting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Apple always does that.
Okay, I would love to keep this conversation going. However, I want to make sure we are done in plenty of time for Marty to get ready for mm-hmm. the Mac Stock live event, which is coming up soon. So I'm wrapping us up with our regular discussion now. And and so we'll do cool things in a minute. But first, I want to tell everyone about Awe Technologies, because they are here supporting us to make sure that we have all the resources we need to do what we do. That means live streams. That means a website and the server space to host all of the files so you can watch or listen to show recordings anytime you want. Without their help, we would not be able to do what we do. So thank you, Awe Technologies. And those of you that that aren't familiar with Awe Technologies yet, well, you're in for a treat, because I'm going to help you burn some new neural pathways right now. Awe Technologies is a company that manages all of that remote site monitoring that you need. Say, their specialty is railroads, but it can be anything else, say a construction site or whatever your need is for that remote visual and environmental monitoring. That's what they can do for you. So they're really good at what they do. Check them out. Their website is Awe Technologies. It's AWE Technologies. .co.uk. And thank you, Awe Technologies, for being here and supporting us. Patrice, are you feeling up to talking about the live chat, or is your voice still under the weather now?
I think I can do it. So we have okay. a really cool live chat. We have a really cool live chat. And that's the place where we talk with listeners, and we put all the links to cool things, two articles we talked about, to just random other stuff that we talk about. And Dave, as always, cheats and always puts his cool thing in before everything. So
he's not cheating. He's just in a different time zone.
He's in a different time zone. Okay, that's fine.
I'm efficient.
You're efficient. No, yeah, okay. no, anyway, I'm just kidding. Love you, Dave. Anyway, it's a fun place to be. You can watch the video on the left, the chat on the right. You can change the name. It generates Confident Wilds, for example, I see here. Trusting Boyd joined the chat. So cool people. Pensive Wozniak. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, so you can change the name. Tap the purple button up top and then change the name to Chuck, for example. I don't know. We do have a transcript on our website, britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Head over there and select the date. If you select today's date, March 13th, 2026, you will see everything that we talked about in the chat. And did I tell you where the live stream was? No, I didn't. Live.britishtechnetwork.com is the place. And we record Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time. So whatever that is it with daylight savings and everything just getting messed up. Right now, it's an hour later than usual in the US, I think, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, for another, I think, 2 weeks or so, it's going to be like that. And we go back to normal. But just check your calendar, put it in there. 4 p.m. UK time. It's always the same time for the UK. So,
for the UK, yep.
For the UK.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. Okay. Patrice, you already told everyone that Dave dropped his cool thing in already.
Yes.
So no surprise. Dave, you've got the first cool thing. Tell us about it.
Yes. With me with a new home and I've got wanting to upgrade some technology in the house, I want to get rid of that old doorbell. Just that push button and the old ding dong. So I wanted to get a video cam. I had the Google Nest at my old house and I hated it. You know, based on Chuck's recommendation, I know he has a Eufy. So this is the Eufy security video doorbell. It's the E340. It's 2K, but it's full HD. It's got dual cameras, which is really cool. It's got a head-to-toe view as well as a straight-up camera view. No monthly fees. You can store all your video online or on a server wherever you'd like. It's a really, really cool camera. I'm very impressed with it. The colors are clear. The image is clear. Very great to set it up. But the one thing I kind of had a problem with was the fact that the doorbell won't work with it, because those old mechanical doorbells are they're mechanical and they're not going to work with this new technology. So Eufy actually came out, and I believe this is relatively new. This is the new model. It's so this kind of combo cool thing here. The Eufy Video Doorbell Chime 2. It's got 10 built-in chimes. It uses both the 2.4 and the 5 gigahertz band, which is unusual because the Eufy only uses 2.4 gigahertz. And it works great. You plug it into an outlet that's nearby to the door, and you could set it to any rings you want. And then when someone rings the bell, it's going to ring, and you're going to be able to hear it. So I'm really, really, really pleased with this purchase, and I want to go get even more advanced. I mean, I even got an automated switch, which I won't talk about, but the switch in my garage, so I can have my lights outside the garage switch, because they had a ridiculous old mechanical timer above the outlet, which I couldn't believe. It was, I think everybody here, I showed the pictures of it.
As crazy as you might think it is.
One of those old dials with the little pins on each side, and that dial moves, and it just clicks it on, clicks it off. It's so stupid.
I was expecting, based on the photo, to see the wires going off to three sticks of dynamite and Wile E. Coyote standing beside it.
Exactly. So, I highly recommend it. Thanks for the tip, Chuck, and I think this is definitely a great product.
Awesome.
Yeah, I want to pile on one thing on Dave's, because I've had several video doorbells, and the process with Eufy is genius.
Oh my
because
gosh.
They give you a link. There's no printed instructions. It's just like, go to this, and then it walks you through step by step by step, so it can be constantly updated. You know, if and when things change, it is the best setup experience I've seen for any technology like this. In this category. So I'm divided. You found it to be exactly the same way that I did.
Yeah, it was very good. And it works nicely with I think I talked about it last week, the Yale automated smart lock on my door too. So it works nicely with that as well. So I'm getting into the home world. I finally did it.
Awesome.
Nice.
Awesome. Nice. All right. Patrice, it's your turn.
Okay, so I'm going to pick the thing that we talked about earlier, since I checked and I did not pick it, apparently, or not, at least not since LA 2019, so maybe I did pick it at some point. Small Fry by Lisa Brennan Jobs. Really cool book. I said, it's like her story between her mother and her father, and like the struggles between those two, but also with her, and I think also a little bit her own struggles with, everything that's going on. Like, you can say about Steve Jobs what you want, but he was never a very his what I've heard also from a lot of other people, his attention came in spurts and phases, which as a parent is not usually what your kids want from you. So like it's and that's what you see and what you get in this book. As I said, I'm not saying this is the ultimate reality about what happened. It is simply her experience, her views, and you know, like, people have their own perspective on things and their own interpretation of things. So there has been some criticism over the years, but like, that's how she saw it. But I always cry at the end, because it was a really, really well written and really well like told story, and also like what she remembers about like her family and her dad and like her, like his admission, I would call it, towards the end, that like, I think he said like, I'm badly built, and I think we all are. So we all have our own flaws. And so it's a complex story, but it's really well done. So it's awesome. I would say it is a story of a daughter who was looking for a connection and stability from a family setup that did not provide that.
I can see how that would be her world.
Interesting.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So it's a really good book.
Okay. Chuck, what are you bringing today?
I'm going to bring another book, but this time sort of from a different angle. Last November of last year, I attended a conference and I heard a gentleman named Rob Dixon from Dixon AI, an AI consulting firm out of the UK, speak. Two presentations at that conference. Last week, I heard him give another presentation, and I just come away so impressed by this gentleman who works with organizations to transform them into AI-enabled organizations. Not as the write-up says, not pilot projects and not playing around, but really how to bring AI into the everyday workflow. This is a book I didn't know about this book until I saw the presentation last week. It's out from December 19th, 2025, so it's about as recent as you're going to get. It's the AI Transformation Playbook, a step-by-step guide to becoming an AI-enabled organization. So this is a little more for management, but I personally think, you know, we're all management, no matter what companies we're in. We just may not be the ones calling the shots, but I've been going through this, and I've taken away a few lessons that I intend to try to communicate. We'll see how successful that is, but bottom line is, I feel like I'm a lot more aware of, if nothing else, what I can do for myself within the guidelines of an organization to push the AI initiative forward. And that obviously assumes that you think that's a good idea, which I do if it's done right. And I'm reading a lot of things and seeing things where it is done right. I'm seeing a lot of things where it's not done right. So, but anyway, check this out, because and if you're in need of a consulting firm, Dixon.ai, and that's no paid advertising here. It's just I've really, really been impressed with the approach that doesn't feel like they're trying to sell you something every 10 minutes.
Cool. All right. I feel like my reading list grows every week because of all of you.
Yes.
That is a compliment, just so you know.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, I'm sorry. I should say this is inexpensive. It's $10.79 paperback. You can get the Kindle version for $2.99. Yeah. So it's almost a throwaway. You know, why wouldn't you invest $3? If you get half of an idea out of this book, it's worth it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Marty, that brings us to you. What's your pick?
Well, you know, my pick would have, could have, should have been the Neo, but we already talked that to death. It could have, would have, should have been the M5, which we didn't have a chance to talk about, or the Pro Max, which we haven't talked about. But I went, you know, since our discussion with the multiple ports thing, I went with Moken's 10 gigabyte per second USB-C hub. Mm-hmm. And I showed this, all fair, I showed this on Chuck's holiday guide. And this was the hub that I grab now whenever I take off someplace. It just performs really well. It's $24.99. And it's got a USB 3.1, a 10 gigabyte per second USB-C, two 10 gigabytes USB-C, a USB 2 port, and then 4K HDMI, and also Ethernet. It is 100 watts power, so you can run 100 watts through that. It's just, it works really well. And at a really good price for all the capabilities. I think when I was looking at one of these, I was looking at something that I could plug as many USB-Cs into. Mm-hmm. I really don't need a picture chip, you know, small mini card for pictures and photos and stuff like that. So, yeah, this is the one I go with.
Awesome. And Yeah, I'm all about when you're getting little hubs like this now, they need to have multiple USB-C ports.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
And they have to be corded. Because if you get those, if you get the ones that, you know, they plug into both USB ports, I have no idea what that'll do on the Neo, but then it blocks off, you know, everything on your, on a MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
Always buy one. Usually I'm not a fan of cords because it's like one more failure point, but it's really important to do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Anchor does those dual USB-C, slap it along the side of your, because I was looking at them yesterday.
Yeah.
Does this work with the Mio?
Oh yeah. This is what I used when I put everything on it into one of the ports, when I put the external drive and two, I wound up using USB-C to USB-2 converters to put the old flash drives in. But I had three items plugged in here. It worked fine. Haven't tried the 4K output. Might try that when I go back to school next week and I'm teaching. So
cool. All right. That means it's my turn now. And my turn, well, at first glance, you might think I'm just being lazy because it's my cool thing from yesterday. But the reality is I'm doing a public service announcement here because we are back in wildfire season again. Mm-hmm. And okay, well, in Colorado, it doesn't end anymore. We are in wildfire season all the time. And strong winds everywhere. Dave, you said that your trash cans are down at the neighbor's house now because of the strong winds. And that's a big thing for wildfire problems. And so Watch Duty lets you keep track of wildfires and get alerts. So you pick the areas that you want to monitor, and then you get alerts for the wildfires that are happening in that area. You get updates as containment updates are released. If evacuation notices are happening, you get all of those alerts. It's a website. It's also an iOS and Android app, so you can have it with you on the go. I've had this on my iPhone for years, and it's been an invaluable resource, and especially so when some of the wildfires have been close enough that I needed real-time updates to know whether or not all the stuff I had piled by the door needed to go out to the car and I needed to leave. So in addition to being able to see the wildfires, you can it'll show you if it's a prescribed burn as well. But you can do things like turn on the little symbols to see where power outages are. You can see evacuation zones lit up. There's a ton of stuff it can show you. You can do almost everything for free. But there are a few features that you pay for if you want to pay for them. But for everything you need to stay safe and aware, that's part of the free service. So Watch Duty. And Patrice, you pointed out yesterday, it's only US right now.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind. And you also pointed out, if you look at the map for the United States, the entire country's on fire.
Yes.
Yeah. And crazy as it sounds, I am currently in a wildfire evacuation watch zone. But basically, the whole eastern third of Colorado is in that right now. So what that means is I need to be prepared to evacuate at any time. There are no wildfires close to me at the moment, but we have the strong winds, the super dry conditions, and we basically didn't have winter this year. So Watch Duty has been getting a lot of use for me already, like all through February, and now here we are in March, and it's going to get a lot of use for the whole rest of the year. But there you go, Watch Duty. It's a really great tool. So with that, it is time for us to wrap up. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I'm here every week on the Big Show on Thursdays, where we talk about the non-Apple side of things, and also on the Mac Show on Fridays with this group of people here. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the projects, and the list of cool things that I have picked over the years from Mac Show, Big Show, and also, for example, the Mac Voices holiday gift guides, is also on the website. There's literally a cool thing page with everything since, I think, November 2019 or something like that. So it's where I look up and see if I picked that in the past. And yeah, with you, Jeff, I also have this very podcast here. I'm showing the mug for the people listening. This one, exactly. It's a retro rewatch. We rewatch retro TV shows. Everything tastes better out of that mug, I have to say.
It really does.
Yeah. Tonight we'll be at the Crossroads, because the Crossroads episode of Retro Rewatch will be out. Stargate SG-1 Season 4, Episode 5, I think. Should be. 4 or 5. The Crossroads episode.
The Crossroads episode. Yes. So, okay. Marty, your turn.
Oh, wow. Tuesday nights with Chuck on Mac Voices, Thursdays with Dave on In Touch with iOS, Friday mornings when I get to play hooky from school here on the Mac Show. All the other projects I'm involved in, including Vision Profiles, which is our live stream on Monday, and other podcasts that I'm doing, you can find at thepodtalk.net. Got a bunch of them coming out this week. I just recorded one before this show on 15-Minute Bites, and it is peanut butter potato candy. You'll have to hear it to believe it, and I am damned gonna try it as soon as I can, and it'll be fun. And other podcasts that I'm involved in, to take a look at thepodtalk.net. You can connect with me at Jencius, J-E-N-C-I-U-S, on both Mastodon and Blue Sky.
Nice. Okay. And I'm skeptical about the candy, but I'm keeping an open mind.
Well, it's got a, like, 4 cups of powdered sugar in it.
Okay, so that's a good start right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of powdered sugar, Chuck, where can people find you?
Okay. Yeah, you can find me over... I'm sorry, I'm a little stunned by that. You can find me over at macvoices.com. That's where you get to hear a lot of conversations, discussion, judgments. We have a couple other things going on as well. The live show has been mentioned. It is youtube.com/macvoicesTV every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. And on pretty much all the major socials, and a minor one or two as well, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. Thanks, Jeff.
Awesome. All right. And Dave, you're up. Where can people find you?
Well, you can find me at In Touch with iOS, intouchwithios.com. YouTube channel is youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on Vision Profiles with Marty and Eric on Mondays, Tuesday nights on Mac Voices Live, Thursdays we record In Touch with iOS, Fridays here on the Mac Show, and I do Blue Sky Mastodon at DaveG65. Thank you.
Okay. And then for me, Jay Gamut on the social medias, mostly right now Mastodon, PixelFed, Blue Sky. Then for shows, Chuck's Mac Voices Live, Dave's In Touch with iOS, here for the Big Show and the Mac Show on the British Tech Network. Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine. And as Patrice pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch. And with that, we need to wrap up, because Marty has a Mac Stock live stream to get to in a few minutes. So thank you to all of you for being just absolutely wonderful friends and putting a smile on my face today and making doing shows on the British Tech Network just so much fun for me. I do look forward to Fridays because I get to hang out with all of you. So thank you for that. Hey, everyone that watches, listens live, participates in the live chats, thank you for being here and being part of this. If you watch and listen to the shows later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows and all technologies. Thank you for being here and supporting us. So now it's time to tell everyone to come back next Thursday for the big show, then come on Friday for the Mac show again, and all of you have an awesome weekend.